Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Violence is again escalating in Syria. Today, dozens of people were reportedly killed by government troops in the capital, Damascus. World leaders are heading to Geneva for what are described as 11th-hour talks on the Syrian crisis. So far, the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad hasn't buckled to international pressure to stop the brutal crackdown. He continues to blame terrorists for the unrest. He also has the support of Russia, a veto-wielding member of the UN Security Council. Tonight, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton meets with Russia's foreign minister in Russia to talk about this. And watching this all closely is Syria's neighbor, Turkey. That's where the BBC's Jonathan Head is. He joins us from Istanbul. And Jonathan, we know that Syrian forces shot down a Turkish military jet last week, and that's increased tension there. What's going on?
Well, now the Turkish government is making good on what it says are new rules of engagement with Syria. The Prime Minister outlined his view of Syria earlier in the week, stating that he views it now as a threat to Turkey's security. And they've deployed anti-aircraft missile systems, guns and tanks to various spots along the border and warned Syria that they will view any Syrian forces approaching the border as potentially hostile and they could be targeted. Now, despite that, I think Turkey is still very cautious about being pulled into a conflict, and they've made it clear they do not want to get involved in a shooting war. They want to resolve their differences through international law and stay on side with the rest of the international community in pressuring for change in Syria. But they have ratcheted things up. There is a higher chance now of some kind of armed confrontation between Turkish and Syrian forces, given this new Turkish position.
Now, Syria's president, Bashar al-Assad, says that Turkey is arming the rebels. True?
I don't think it's true, strictly true. The government tells me their official position is they would never arm a side in a conflict in a neighbouring country. They're not supplying arms themselves. And actually, for most of the last year and a half, they've kept the borders fairly tightly controlled. Stuff gets across, small amounts of supplies, but not large numbers of weapons. That may be changing. There is evidence now that more weapons are getting across, and it's quite possible after the incident with this aircraft that Turkey will give much more significant support to the opposition. They certainly allow the opposition to be based in Turkey, but they say they don't allow attacks to take place directly from Turkish soil. So I think they've been restrained up to now. They don't offer full, wholehearted support, and the rebels often complain they don't get very much from Turkey. They certainly don't get large numbers of arms, but we think that may be changing now.
Mm. Now, you know, President Assad went on Iranian television this week, and he said he's not going to accept any solution to the crisis in his country that's imposed from the outside. At the same time, we have folks attending these emergency talks in Geneva tomorrow saying that we don't want anyone involved in this process who might cause tensions, which might mean Assad. So what happens here? Are we sort of at a stalemate, or what do you think?
Well, we're at a pivotal position, really, because if the Geneva talks take the form that the United States insists they have to, as a minimum, a political transition plan, that would require Russian support. That's what Secretary of State Clinton's going to be talking to Sergei Lavrov about. And, you know, this is a very, very tough conversation. Russia's view is they, like Syria, they don't want regime change imposed from outside, which de facto means leaving President Assad more or less in power. But more and more people are saying President Assad cannot stay in power. He can't hold it together. It's turning into a civil war. Many observers think Russia is beginning to come round to this view that there will be a complete disaster in Syria if they don't get some kind of diplomatic process going. It's just a question of whether before these talks, Russia and the United States and other Western countries can find some common ground over how they move forward. But there is a minimum line as far as the U.S. and its allies are concerned, and that is that Bashar al-Assad has to go.
So that's it. I mean, it can't happen with him around.
That's their view, and I think many others will have that view now, too, given the levels of violence that are going on, how much blood is on his hands, what a hate figure he is for a very large proportion of the population now who are turning against him in places that have not supported the opposition. We're seeing more and more communities now going over to their side. You know, in many parts, this is a civil war now, an increasingly armed one. The prospect of other regional powers getting involved in a fight to the finish with Assad's army holding on to the bitter end is so awful for the region that I think everyone is trying to explore a possible alternative, and even the Russians realize how bad the civil war scenario could be.
Can the rebels oust Assad unless they have military support?
Well, I think they have some military support. Gulf states like Saudi Arabia and Qatar are funding them. And actually, a lot of Syrian businesses are too. I've met Syrian businessmen, quite successful people, who are putting a lot of money they've made working in the Gulf region for many years into finding weapon supplies for these rebel forces. So they're getting weapons. It would be a long, grinding struggle. A hardcore of the army around President Assad sees this as a struggle for existence, for survival. You know, they would be able to fight to the finish. It would involve probably tens of thousands of lives lost, which is why that's not a scenario anybody wants to let happen.
So really, what the focus will be this weekend at these talks in Geneva will be to try to reach some sort of a deal with Russia, where the allies will get together, try to get rid of Assad, and impose some sort of transitional government there to ease what's going on.
If there can be an international consensus, including Russia, on a transitional plan, on a blueprint which involves probably some elements of President Assad's government, something that doesn't look like regime change imposed from the outside, that would be a very big step forward. It would only be a step forward. You've still got somehow to impose that plan on the chaos that's going on inside Syria. You still got a good chance that elements of the Assad regime would carry on fighting, and they're very well armed. So it's not a good scenario, even if they get that step. But without that, we really are looking into a black hole.
What's the likelihood of Assad going, and if he did go, where would he go?
Neighboring countries that don't like him at all, saying, we will give you asylum, we'll let you take your wealth out of the country. It's been offered. It doesn't seem to have appealed. Somehow President Assad hasn't bitten, and nor have the hardcore of his regime. It's interesting they haven't chosen it, but as they haven't, it does seem as though there's not much that will persuade him to go.
So not likely at all.
Doesn't seem it at the moment, no. But, you know, as things get worse and worse, we might reach a stage where he really feels threatened, and it's just possible he and his family might make the decision to run.
Okay, the BBC's Jonathan Head speaking with us from Istanbul. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Nice to talk to you.
It's Here and Now.